Good afternoon. I'm going to call the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology for June 1st, 2017 to order. Sean, what do we have today?
Certainly, Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. Today we have a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 872. Just as a reminder for the committee, Senate Bill 872 is a JLCIMT bill, as this measure does three primary things. Senate Bill 872 establishes a new Department of Information Technology, transferring the Office of the State CIO and enterprise IT and supporting functions from the Department of Administrative Services to the new agency. However, the measure would retain the DAS internal IT organization within DAS, local area network, desktop support, internal application support, those kinds of things. The same kinds of services that other agencies also have. Mm-hmm. It's important to note that under the current structure, the DAS director and the state CIO are both governor's appointees with independent authority. However, the Office of the State CIO is currently housed budgetarily and administratively within DAS. This measure will move the Office of the State CIO into a newly formed independent IT agency. Importantly, the creation of a standalone IT agency and or a move toward full consolidation of state IT functions, assets, and personnel into a single agency is a step that more than 35 states across the country have taken to date. I only mention that to point out that we're not moving into uncharted territory, stopping short of consolidation, but moving to a new IT agency with the existing enterprise functions. The second core focus of Senate Bill 872 is the transfer of state IT procurement functions and authority from DAS and the DAS director to the Department of Information Technology and the state CIO. The transition of state IT procurement authority to the state CIO is not a unique organizational model across the nation. This transition was originally included in House Bill 3099 in 2015, but was amended out under a compromise with the DAS director and the governor's office at that time. This transfer of procurement authority to the state CIO from the DAS director recognizes the state CIO and his staff's specialized expertise, and in this case, his explicit authority for enterprise IT operations, oversight, planning, rulemaking, policy and standard setting, and his role as the governor's primary advisor on information technology and telecommunications. Although 21 states currently place the state IT procurement authority with a central procurement officer, that's the predominant model, 11 states do place that authority and the resources to conduct state IT procurements and price agreements with the state CIO. With that, there's no reason to believe that this model can't also be implemented and work effectively in Oregon. Finally, Senate Bill 872 does establish a new information technology-centric chapter of Oregon laws. As I mentioned in our previous public hearing, House Bill 3099, which was passed by the legislature, signed by the governor in 2015, involved 41 different statutes. Much of the state's IT procurement, information technology operations, strategy, standard setting, oversight authority exists throughout the Oregon revised statutes. The purpose of this portion of the bill is to consolidate a good bit of that language, probably not all of it, but a good bit of it into a standalone chapter that would make the duties, roles, responsibilities of the state CIO more understandable, more transparent, et cetera. Co-chairs and committee members, as I mentioned, we did have a public hearing on Senate Bill 872 on April 13th. At that meeting, Director Koba, who's with us today from DAS, gave some testimony, made a request that the JLCIMT defer action at that time on Senate Bill 872 for several weeks to give the governor's office the time needed to conduct an assessment of the Office of the State CIO and to meet and talk with key stakeholders about the current state of IT governance and organizational structure throughout Oregon's executive branch. We do have the Deputy Chief of Staff for the Governor's Office and the DAS Director here today to report back and to provide some additional complimentary public testimony.
Okay, with that, I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 872 and ask that the witnesses, the testimony be presented. So
great. We do have the Chief of Staff as well. My apologies.
I'm an interloper.
Okay.
So please remember to introduce yourself for the record.
Members of the committee, Nick Glosser, Chief of Staff for the Governor, co-chairs and members of the committee. I have appeared in front of two committees in my tenure as Chief of Staff, one on the Governor's Office budget and then here today, and I just underscore that. I say that to underscore the importance that I personally put into IT management in the Governor's Office. With me is Deputy Chief of Staff Barry Leslie. She's going to summarize the assessment that I believe you all have a copy of, but I just wanted to make a couple of remarks before that. I've spent a significant amount of time with DAS, with the CIO's office, and with other members of the governor's staff on four initial items in the last 4 months. One, we wanted to get a handle on major IT projects in the state overall. The second was actually spending significant time on a handful of those that were having challenges, most particularly the integrated eligibility project that we had another hour-long meeting yesterday with the principals to make sure we're on the right track with that project. Third, talk with agency directors and the state CIO and about IT governance and decision-making. And finally, to initiate a plan to respond to your proposed actions that would affect information technology in the state. This bill, SB 872, instigated this internal assessment so that we, quite frankly, could give you a more informed response of what we thought of it. As some of you know, I came from the private sector where I ran a technology company that built complex software systems. So I have a real appreciation for the management of information technology, and in particular, I have the real-world experience around design and adoption of IT decision-making by an existing workforce and customer base, and I think that can often be the most challenging part of implementing an effective information technology system. So this assessment, which was led by Barry Leslie, was just completed, was also recently reviewed by the directors of our state's largest agencies at our enterprise leadership team. As you know, there's been significant changes in the structure of IT management over the last 2 years, including the implementation of the stage gate process and the shift in reporting of the state CIO from DAS to the governor's office. So we wanted to understand from key stakeholders how that's gone. The governor has made it clear that she cares a great deal about operational efficiency in state government, as well as great customer service and a great user experience for both state employees and in the use of IT systems, as well as our end customers, Oregonians, needing the service. So just to wrap up my remarks, I think just to give you another example of how we are really trying to embed IT literacy within the governor's office, We brought in the state CIO and his team last week to educate all governor's policy advisors on the stage gate process and how the agencies that they intersect with actually implement new IT projects. In closing, I'll just say up front, because I have to leave in a few minutes, although I'll stick around to hear a little bit, is we're fine, we're okay with the separate agency, and we have real concerns with the procurement transfer. And the main reason for that is it's really, for procurement to be successful, it needs to be a real partnership between the CIO and the agencies. And right now, as you'll see in the recommendations that we're about to give you from our assessment, we have work to do to really align the enterprise, the agencies, and on effective governance of information technology. So if we take procurement out now, it's not going to be the end of the world. If you leave it in, it really helps enforce. If you leave it in DAS, it's really going to help enforce everyone marching down the path in the same direction and doing, I think, what we all need to accomplish. So with that, I'll stick around for a few minutes, happy to answer questions. And I'd like to turn it over to Barry Leslie. And I just also want to thank Senator Riley and Representative Nathanson for their partnership in giving us a couple of weeks to complete this assessment.
Senator Lampigan.
Did you hand out material? You referred to material.
Is that in?
I think we sent it to committee staff in advance.
So my apologies, co-chairs, members of the committee, and to the governor's office. I was not aware that it was sent. We certainly, while you're presenting, I can go back to the office, make sure that it's posted. Was it sent through the exhibits or?
I apologize. I'm sure I sent it in the wrong way. So my apologies.
That's okay.
To the committee, and I will be glad. Still learning all these process issues, and I'll be glad to make sure that the committee gets a copy directly after. And I apologize for the oversight.
I do have it. So
okay.
But I.
Was that the one?
No, my apologies.
Out through a different way.
My apologies.
So.
This
yeah.
is to Governor Brown.
Great.
Yeah, that's the assessment Great. That the.
I'll print some copies. Yeah. I'll be right back.
He'll get copies.
All right.
It's
well,
attached to that letter.
Should we wait a minute for the copies?
No, I think we can go ahead and we can get that to you, and we go ahead with the presentation. And before we wrap up, you'll have that in your hands, and can we'll even take a few minutes probably to stop and let people read it.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Barry Leslie, and I am Deputy Chief of Staff with Governor Brown. Co-Chair Riley and Co-Chair Nathanson, thank you for allowing us to be here today. And as Nick said, he really told you the why behind why we undertook the assessment of OSIO, which is the office, the Oregon State Chief Information Office. And I will use that acronym throughout, because if you make me say that over and over again, I know we all hate acronyms. I will be here all afternoon, and I know you don't want that. So I want to just go into a little bit about, since he told you the why, kind of the how we did the assessment, the scope we undertook, and then some of our findings and recommendations. And I would be delighted to answer questions throughout. So if it's easier for you to wait until the end, that's great. But I'm also happy to be interrupted. So whatever works best for you. So in terms of scope, we really looked at three very specific things that are the mission and values of the OSIO. And those are how OSIO has matured enterprise technology governance, how they've leveraged investments in shared services, and how they've ensured transparency and provided project oversight. So kind of with those three things in mind, we went and found about a dozen stakeholders and folks who spent a lot of time on this project, the co-chairs included, and asked a variety of questions that Alex and his team helped us think through. And those included things like, do you understand how IT decisions, IT enterprise decisions are made in Oregon? Do you understand the evaluation criteria we use? Do you understand the decision-making process? We also asked folks if they'd noticed a difference in terms of governance from when the state CIO reported to the DAS director versus reporting to the governor, and if they felt any changes. We asked about experience with the stage gate process, what it was like to go through the process as a customer, and just kind of generally how they feel OSIO does in terms of communicating with agencies. We also asked folks about their experience with the state data center, and then last asked folks about whether or not they believe that projects that are enterprise IT projects like telephones and email really should be administered and implemented through one central IT resource. And so we asked this dozen or so folks these questions and came back with a lot of interesting information. And what made my job a lot easier is there was really broad agreement on a lot of different things. And that is always much easier to create change or suggest recommendations when there's a lot of agreement. So first of all, on the question of whether or not people had an understanding about IT governance, decision-making, prioritization, and how we evaluate IT projects, the consensus was that people really don't understand from an enterprise perspective. When I say enterprise, I mean kind of state government as a whole, how we make decisions, how we prioritize projects, how we evaluate projects. And so that what that told us is that what we need to do in partnership with OSIO and the governor's office and the legislature and state agencies is come up with a governance model that helps us all work together, kind of like you would with a charter for a committee or a group, to make sure that we understand how we make decisions, what kind of criteria we use, and also how we prioritize projects, so that not only do we start from a place of agreement and a kind of a shared governance structure, but when there are communication breakdowns, we can return to that and remember what we all agreed upon from the get-go. So that was one of the first recommendations. What we also recommend is that OSIO help agencies with best practices, generally when it comes to IT. I think it was LFO staff who shared with me that something like 70% of IT expenditure in Oregon is really spent in terms of internal agency operations, not necessarily on projects. I found that fascinating. And what that tells us is that we need to make sure that our agencies have the best possible thinking when it comes to managing their internal IT operations possible. So we think OSIO is in a good position to help agencies think about best practices, not only for big projects, but also just for managing day-to-day IT operations and how they replace place hardware and just strategic thinking in terms of how they prioritize their IT work and spending. So that's certainly one of our recommendations. And then last in this category is that we'd love to have OSIO develop a roadmap for replacing statewide legacy systems. Like you, I've asked the question, I think, what would it cost if we kind of undertook all of the replacement of this infrastructure and all these big conversations about legacy systems? What would it cost the state to do all of that? How long would it take? Just give me a sense of it, because it's so complicated yet so important. And I just don't think that's an answer we really have. I think it's a complicated answer to develop, but I think having that answer for all of us would help us understand the big picture better, help us think through what the priorities are, and also help us make decisions in terms of, you know, spending this amount now gets us this amount of return, not spending this amount now creates this amount of risk. So it would be helpful for everybody. In terms of the questions about the reporting structure for the state CIO, people really haven't noticed a difference when the CIO reported to the DAS director versus the governor. The one theme that came up over and over again is that folks don't know whether or not they're supposed to treat OSIO staff as a partner, as a, you know, a regulator. They don't really understand OSIO's role. And so we think this is a great opportunity for the governor's office to help OSIO establish those relationships with agencies so that agencies understand that certainly this is a consultative relationship and certainly we're here to help, but it's also a regulatory relationship in the sense that we need Oregon's projects and operations to be excellent. There's too much risk in them not being. And so when we make a recommendation, it's not just a recommendation. We actually expect follow through. And that really goes back to that governance conversation. If there are breakdowns in communication when OSIO makes recommendations, returning to that governance model and returning to those strong relationships that I think OSIO is going to work hard to build will really help navigate those kinds of conversations when there isn't shared agreement between agencies and OSIO in terms of recommendations. The next category we looked at were experience that customers had with the stage gate process and communications with OSIO generally. And there was a couple of recommendations that came out of that. People really were frustrated, and the stage gate process is really new. And so it makes sense that there wouldn't be a consistent experience with going through that. But people wanted to know how long it would take, and they wanted to avoid in the future being in the queue at the same time as other large projects. So a couple of recommendations we came up with are having OSIO work to create a prioritization methodology so that as an enterprise, we're thinking through what projects are coming down the pipe and helping agencies navigate their ability to get to the start line at different times so we're not overwhelming OSIO and we're also not playing the hurry up and wait game with agencies. And we think that will just be a more effective practice for the time spent for agencies and also time spent for OSIO. We also think it'd be helpful if they gave agencies through either a matrix or some type of communication tool kind of a general sense for how long a project will take. And as Alex reminds us, and I think this is a really good point, it's about quality. So they can't always be sure how long a project is going to take if agencies don't deliver good quality documentation. But I think that just helping people understand if they do deliver quality documents, how long a project could potentially take will help agencies do a better job with timelines. A couple last recommendations in the category of the State Data Center. This was really interesting for me as someone who's worked for state government for 20 years. The feedback about the State Data Center was really encouraging and really positive about the folks who've been there in the last couple of years and the efforts that they're undertaking to communicate effectively with agencies and customers. There is still some confusion about the cost-benefit analysis of the data center. What does it mean for the state to be all in? What does it mean for the state to be all out? And I think there's a consensus that people would like to understand what are the costs and risks of those different decisions? And so we'd like OSIO to put together an analysis that helps us understand what that looks like in terms of those different scenarios. And then last, there was a question for folks about whether or not they did feel like a centralized, you know, IT shop should be responsible for implementing email and other telephone systems that are obviously a shared resource among state agencies. And there was broad agreement that it makes perfect sense for them to be responsible for those types of projects, and that probably adopting some of the recommendations that you heard throughout would really do a good job of making sure that as we implement those projects in the future, that some of the implementation issues we've had will be lessened by just having really good communication and good governance. So that completes my findings and recommendations. I want to thank the co-chairs for their partnership and help, and really thank Osayo, who did a great job helping us with the assessment. They've been great partners all along, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So I was really struck by the one sentence in the experience with the state data center. Is there was confusion around why we have a data center which is intended to build efficiencies if we don't require broad participation. I thought that was a really interesting comment, I think that's something that we really need to look closely at, is creating that broad participation.
Co-Chair Riley, we agree. We agree. We want to better understand what that means from a cost-benefit analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Representative Nathanson.
This is just a comment. I appreciate that early in your remarks, almost as an aside, when you used the word enterprise, then you amplified or expanded and said, in other words, statewide mm-hmm. services. I think that a number of people have started using the word enterprise this and enterprise that, and a lot of people nod their head. I don't want to look dumb, but what does that mean? And I think it's a very nice, sophisticated, fancy word, but we should just say what we mean sometimes. And I appreciate your explaining it that way, and in a way it's related to what Senator Riley has just pointed out. Sometimes we talk about efficiencies in government service, and of course we're all on one team, when actually we haven't been playing like we're all on one team. And the was it called the executive leadership team or enterprise leadership team. Thank you. When that was formed and it started to meet and reach some solutions to issues that were arising or recommendations about new approaches, I thought that was such a terrific idea. It was like a breath of fresh air. I was so delighted to see that develop, and I hope that that continues. And I think we need to make sure that the institutional memory isn't then just a memory, but that it really is ingrained in the ongoing work of the organization and continues.
Thank you.
So, Director Koba, did you have comments?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Katie Koba, State Chief Operating Officer and Director of DAS. I'll speak briefly to Representative Nathanson's comments on the Enterprise Leadership Team. If you had sat in on our budget hearing, you would have heard me talk about kind of the two hats I wear, one as the Chief Operating Officer and one as the Director of DAS. And as the Chief Operating Officer, it really is that focus around the enterprise or statewide work that we do in state government and how we can work better together, the multiple agencies, to continue to push efficiencies and effectiveness. The work that's being done on IT is a big part of the Enterprise Leadership Team, or ELT's, agenda. And I think I've been on this team from its inception. We've gone through those stages of team development. I would say it's a really highly performing team. We've rotated some directors on and off to give different agencies exposure, and I think that that this will be something that continues into the future. I think state agencies really see a benefit in this enterprise approach to what we're doing in state government. With regards to Senate Bill 872, I just wanted to comment briefly, and it's a follow-up to the comments that the Chief of Staff made in terms of the IT procurement piece of the bill. As I've testified before, we're not in support at this time about consolidating IT procurement in the state CIO's office. There are a couple of reasons. One is, and I think what you heard from the assessment of IT, while we've made great progress in the IT world and state government, we have a lot of work to do. And I think the assessment identifies focus areas in terms of the work that we need to focus on in the next couple of years. IT procurement is already one of those things that we'd identified to go to the Enterprise Leadership Team to really look at what is the right structure in Oregon. There is a national group that's meeting right now. Both our state CIO and our state chief procurement officer are working on that national group. and we'll be bringing out some recommendations that would apply nationwide, but I think Oregon can learn some lessons there. And then this is really an issue that I think we need to have a conversation internally about: what is the best structure for effective IT procurement in the state of Oregon. We could be in a place in a couple of years from now where we would say, yes, it makes sense to move it over to the state CIO's office, but I just don't think we're ready at this point in time to do that. So I just wanted to address that piece of the legislation.
Senator Linthicum.
With regard to the idea of procurement potentially not being ready for transfer, if the state CIO was left inside DAS, what could your office implement or do to change the issues that we see throughout your assessment document, which is lack of clarity, a governance structure that's confusing, confusion with regard to what is the role of the state CIO, and how does that what does that role demand from the various departments or agencies that they're servicing? What administrative functions and roles can your office contribute that have been left off the page or maybe not appropriately addressed?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Linthicum, and I'll certainly let Barry chime in if she is inclined to. The vehicle that we're going to use to implement the recommendations in the management assessment is really the structure of the enterprise leadership team working very closely with the state CIO. The state CIO sits on the enterprise leadership team. Barry sits on the enterprise leadership team. I sit on it. We have a committee of ELT that actually is focused on IT. And the chair of that committee is Pat Allen, the director of DCBS. And Pat and our CIO are working closely now in terms of bringing these elements to that committee to really say, how do we start providing clarification and getting agencies to better understand how this works? What does a charter look like? All of those elements, we see that work being done by this subcommittee of ELT and then bringing it to full ELT and then rolling it out prospectively throughout state government. So that's going to be a big focus of work for that ELT subcommittee in the coming biennium. And I don't know, Barry, if you have anything to add.
Co-Chair Riley, Senator Linthicum, I guess I don't have a lot to add. I think what I would add is that one of the biggest aha moments for me in just in terms of doing this assessment is that where we've got a breakdown in terms of agencies working together and working in partnership with OSIO is basically in communication and governance. And so I always feel like you want to really kind of clean up the inside of your house really well first before you start making big organizational changes. Because when things structurally aren't set right, it makes it more complicated to make other changes. And so just to not add another element of having a procurement transition, I think gives people more time to really allow us to put this in motion and have folks working together in a really cohesive way before you create more change. But that would just be the perspective from having done the assessment.
Representative Nealon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Ms. Leslie, that's a good segue to a point that was kind of rattling around in my brain there about kind of the trajectory of change that we're on. So we had 3099, which gave the state CIO kind of authority over software projects and other things. And then just recently this session sort of given him authority over information security personnel and to a lesser degree, I guess, the geospatial data bill kind of I guess that's kind of as the state that's kind of already existing, so that's not a very very big point there, but we're kind of on that trajectory, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad trajectory, but the point you just brought up of kind of paraphrasing you of too much change too fast kind of thing with procurement, is that a issue here? Maybe should we maybe be going slower, and is there some value to that?
Good. Co-Chair Riley, Representative Nearman, it's a great question, and it's one I've thought a lot about. Just from the way I've approached this, when I think about the difference that that OSIL will be put through being their own agency, I guess I don't see that structural change as significant enough to stop us or prevent us from slowing down creating these improvements in terms of communication and governance. And so that I guess I'm kind of neutral. I think you can go forward with it, and I don't think it'll stop this progress. I think you could not do it, and we would still go forward with this. I think what I would want to do as I were moving this forward is do continued assessments of how, as we move toward its own agency, managing IT security, maybe someday managing procurement, or now, depending upon the committee's will, that you're really assessing at each stage how they are managing from the standpoint of making sure that all agencies understand and have buy-in about the governance structure and communication between the decision-making bodies. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that, oh, yes, Senator DeVore.
In the impact of proposed legislation, the first analysis, it talks about adding 5 FTE, and then it said it wasn't needed, but the next paragraph brings it back in again. What is the net cost of what we're about to do?
Co-Chair Riley, Senator DeVore, I think there's been two fiscals. I think there's been, as you're suggesting, a fiscal that indicates that an agency of this size would benefit probably from 5 strategic positions to ensure that they can create the operational efficiency you'd want a state agency of that size to have. And then I think you have another fiscal model that looks at having DAS continue to provide those services while OSIO, as its own agency, determines what it needs going forward. Either one can work. Certainly. I mean, you can do it either way. So I think it really comes down to what gives the legislature greater confidence. Do you have more confidence in an important IT agency of this size having the strategic positions to help them make sure that they're providing the type of effectiveness that we all want in IT governance?
So, and I believe that my position on that, I believe that it ultimately an agency this size needs those positions, but when you first form an agency, there's a possibility that contracting out to DAS those few things like HR makes sense for a short term. I'd like to hear the director's comments on that if that's possible.
Mr. Co-Chair, again, Katie Koba, director at DAS. I agree with Barry. Those are both models that you could move forward. I think we'd want to make it clear for the record that the expectation would be in time that the CIO, if it was a standalone agency, would need its own HR director and would need its own budget director and a PIO. If we want to phase that in, we can do that. And I just want to make it clear for the record that at some point in time in the not-too-distant future, we would strongly encourage that those positions be established in the CIO.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the net cost is about $1.2 million. The way it's written, the first paragraph says we don't need it. The second paragraph then says we do. And I think if you're going to have a director, they should use the assets they think necessary. So there'll be some interim depending on what the director wants to do. And I really have to challenge, being a freshman here and seeing what we're spending on IT, I see tremendous savings. So to the new director, I would say that, you know, I'd like to see $10 million worth of savings for the $1.2 million we're going to invest in the change, and like to see reports of success that you see in reducing some of these costs and getting our proficiency and our product way better. So with that, I was just confused reading it because it took it away in one paragraph, adds it back in the next. So,
Mr. Co-Chair, I might clarify, two of those 5 positions were connected with the transfer of IT procurement to the state CIO. So if that piece does not happen right now, then you're really looking at, I think it's a probably a minimum of 3 new functions that a new agency would need to make sure that it's handling. I think you then leave it up to the director to determine over time what else they might need. But if you were to not move the IT procurement but only move the standalone agency, under the first scenario, you're looking at three positions either now or at some point in time down the road.
Did you have?
Certainly, yeah. Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, wanted to point out two things. One, it was not included in my summary, but in the detail of the bill, the operative date of the stand-up of the new agency is July 1st, 2018. So it's for the 17-19 biennium, the new agency would only be in operation for a single fiscal year. So that's one complicating factor in developing a fiscal impact, at least in the near term. The second, on the fiscal impact statement, clearly this bill does have a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Likely, I'm assuming, would go to the General Government Subcommittee, depending on schedule availability and the full fiscal analysis, impact analysis would be assessed further in those hearings.
Is there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate all your work on this assessment and the things that you've told us make sense. We will we'll weigh those. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who wants to testify on this bill? If not, I'm going to have a recess for a short period, and we will come back to this in a few minutes. Thank you.
Why the recess?
To get Nathan some back. So I'm going to end the recess and go back into the public hearing right now. And I wanted to know if there's other comments. I did think that Senator Linthicum wanted to address what the amendments were that we're going to do. Is that
right? It's my understanding that because there is a fiscal, it'll go to Ways and Means, as Sean explained.
Correct.
And then I don't see any amendments posted, and yet I hear there's two or three amendments, and I'm curious what Ways and Means amendments are going to look like. Of course, they can invent anything they choose, but I'm wondering what's in the wings.
Certainly. Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, in our first public hearing in April, prior to that hearing, we did post two proposed amendments to Senate Bill 872. We're not working them today because the bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means and can be worked in the Ways and Means Subcommittee. These are two technical adjustments to the bill. I call them technical adjustments. They're adjustments that, one, makes sense. Second, one of them is one that is not unfamiliar to this committee or other committees. Let me describe them very briefly. The A4 amendment replaces the definition of a state agency and clarifies other language within the measure to ensure that the Secretary of State and the State Treasurer and other currently exempt entities are not made subject to the state CIO's authority under Senate Bill 872. So that is an amendment request that this committee has seen in the past on other bills. It is one that was requested prior to the first public hearing and is one that will carry forward for consideration by the General Government Subcommittee of Ways and Means, and then the full Ways and Means. The second amendment, the -5 amendment, is a little more substantive to certainly the procurement portions of Senate Bill 872. During the first round of a call for fiscal impact information from state agencies, there were a couple of concerns that were raised by state agencies, just some uncertainties about the intent of the bill. One of them related to delegations of IT procurement authority. The bill, as introduced, had some language related to, once the transfer occurs, any rules, policies, and procedures that had formerly been established by the DAS director would remain in force in the new IT agency unless rescinded or superseded. Agencies had questions about, okay, we understand the rules, policies, and procedures will remain in place, but what about our existing delegations of IT procurement authority? The DAS director and the the procurement services director for the state on behalf of the DAS director has over time issued some IT procurement delegations to agencies based on a variety of reasons. This amendment, the first part of it, clarifies that in addition to rules, policies, and standards, IT procurement delegations that exist now prior to the transfer would remain in force unless superseded or replaced. The second portion deals with an issue that was a surprise, and certainly not intended. The drafted language in the primary procurement statute, ORS 279, currently gives very broad authority to the DAS director for all IT for all procurement, IT procurement and non-IT procurement. Clearly, this bill envisions the transfer of the IT procurement portion to the state CIO, but some of the language in the introduced bill was ambiguous, and there were a couple of agencies, one in particular, one large agency, was under the impression that they would not only need to obtain review and approval from the state CIO for IT procurements, but also for non-IT procurements. So it's just a small change in language. We reverted back to the existing statutory language in the amendment. Again, a clarifying amendment. So those are the only components of the two amendments.
So those are the two amendments that right. we have. And of course, Ways and Means has the ability to do any amending that they want to do when it gets into their hands.
But I'm not aware of any requests that have already been made, any A6, A7, A8 amendments that have already been made. Certainly, there are some agencies that from time to time may make, identify issues or concerns, but I'm not aware of any pending requests.
So can I just, to clarify, that was a good explanation, but I'm going to use up dumb question of the day here. So the bill, as we're about to amend it, does not give the CIO procurement authority then?
Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, Representative Nierman. So the action that likely Senator Riley, I'm guessing, will take is to not adopt amendments today in this session. Instead, path one is to take a vote on the bill as is, have the bill and the existing amendments carry forward to Ways and Means, and then be considered in Ways and Means. Now, that said, the core of Senate Bill 872, the A version that you are all currently considering, does include those three primary components: the new agency, the transfer, including the transfer of the Office of the State CIO and all the statewide IT functions to the new agency, the transfer of state IT procurement authority from the DAS director to the state CIO and the new agency, and then the new IT chapter. And the confusion that agencies had, it was just a language issue. There was some ambiguous language where they were uncertain as to whether or not, as written, Senate Bill 872 might require the review and approval of the state CIO for non-IT related procurements. Okay. And so we anticipate that issue will be fixed in the Ways and Means process should the co-chairs decide to move the bill once it goes right. to that committee.
And the reason I don't want to do the amendments today is because if we do them, it will require a new fiscal, and we won't be able to do anything with the bill until a week from now. And I'd like to get it into the hands of Ways and Means and let them start to deal with it. And they can do the amendments there and do their own fiscal.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. So can I ask
one more question?
I want to use up a dumb question of the day for tomorrow, too, or for next week.
Okay.
So the fiscal on it is $1.2 million, but it's effectively, and I get it that there's some slipperiness to that fiscal because it's hard to know what a new agency is going to cost, but it's effectively $2.4 million per biennium then. As it sits.
Senator Riley, members of the committee, Representative Nierman, actually the fiscal indicates the full biennial cost of these new positions would be $1.2
okay.
million.
Dollars.
Right. So one fiscal year would be half of that,
so
assuming all five positions were needed.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ways and Means takes out the procurement part, then as the director indicated, that would be two positions fewer that would be needed. So it would be less. But those positions would still be in the DAS, so they would cost that there. Oh, yeah. So.
Okay,
good.
I'm done.
So I'm going to close the public hearing, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 872A. And the chair is going to move that Senate Bill 872A be reported out, do pass, and referred to Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion? Yes.
So I'm intending to be a no on this, but my friend Representative Nathanson, who would be a yes on it, is not here. So I'll vote yes as a courtesy to her, and just so the committee knows that my intention is to vote no on this bill.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
This is a tough buy because I like the idea. Well, the outstanding beast in the room is the confusion in governance model. Mm-hmm. We see the ELT as the opportunity to determine what that governance should look like. I don't think that requires a stand-up agency to do that. In fact, we heard testimony. You could do it, we'd still follow along in cleaning up, and or you could not do it, and we would still pursue establishing the governance model and clearing up the confusion and whatnot. So I think that it is attractive to have a concentrated authority, but us creating another agency doesn't guarantee anybody's going to cooperate across the agencies. DAS already works with 100 agencies and thousands of programs and is responsible for implementing the whole enchilada for all of the citizens of Oregon. And moving IT out and then having them repeat that, you know, quote unquote, for the IT realm, doesn't sound like we cleaned up anything. And I think I would recommend that we clean up the governance model first and then push to separate that out if following the governance model that's been created under Ms. Koba's direction. I think it's problematic now to have both of these agencies servicing the entire state and all of the intricate details, one specializing in IT and one specializing in everything else, and think that we're going to get returns on our investment that we're suggesting here. So that's I don't mind the idea. I think we may be going too far too fast, because what we allowed the CIO to do a couple of weeks ago, this body moved in the CIO's favor to provide these distinct job titles and direction and authorities. We ought to see that tree come to fruition and bear that fruit. If it doesn't, there's no sense in standing him up here by himself. And I'm expecting those great results. Senator DeBoer voiced the opinion. He said, I have great faith in the state CIO. I expect a return on investment. Well, I do too. I'd like to see that. So thumbs up to everybody. I just would like to slow this train down.
Okay, well, we have a motion. Further discussion?
So
yes.
Just so that I don't look stupid or something like that, I was going to be a courtesy yes for Representative Nathanson, so I'll be a no.
We got that. Thank you very much. So would you call a roll, please?
No.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Co-chair Nathan?
Aye.
Senator DeBoer? Moore.
Aye.
Senator Linthicum.
No.
Chair Riley.
Aye. So we are passing this out with a do pass and be referred to Ways and Means by prior reference. And I'm going to close that work session. And that ends the what we need to do today. So thank you all very much. Okay, so thank you all very much. What we need to do today.